This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies. Ladies and gentlemen, Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio joining the show very shortly.
I was right.
Oh, I was going to do my impression.
Right before the show, I was trying to figure out who the woman was in Color of Money with Paul Newman and, of course, a very young, handsome, energetic Tom Cruise. And it was Mary Elizabeth, Master Antonio. And the reason that I brought up the Color of Money to begin with.
You don't need a reason to eat a reason.
Well, in this case, what was Fast Eddie's change? What was his transition during the movie that led to him?
His eyes.
He got his eyes.
He got glasses.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, folks, Browns fans.
Myles Garrett.
What is the biggest offseason move? Not another defensive lineman.
No.
Not a defensive coordinator. Not a burner at wide receiver. Folks, it was right there in front of us, but we couldn't see it.
And now he can. He got LASIK.
LASIK surgery for Myles
Garrett. Myles got LASIK.
Hit the music.
He'll be able to see the deer in front of him.
Michael Stanley, let's go.
Are we playing it? No, we're not playing.
Well, it's not the normal show.
Okay, no big deal.
It's the podcast.
All right. Do you have the clip that we want to play yet, or tell me when? No?
No, we don't have it yet.
Okay,
it takes a minute. The boy's getting it.
I had no idea.
Oh, wait a minute.
He had no idea.
I had no idea that Myles Garrett needed.
He never let us in.
No.
He never let us in on it.
No. Interesting.
We finished
Is
the show.
Is that what really happened with the helmet? When he swung the helmet, he thought that Mason Rudolph was like 10 yards away?
There is a story. Boy, that'd be something. His depth perception. There is a story about a guy who. Well, I don't need to tell that story. Would you stop?
I'm reenacting Myles Garrett running after people trying to get sacks, but not able to see.
Come here.
Why did I have him look like Frankenstein?
We ended the show with you talking about your ring. Have you gotten used to your? You haven't gotten used to your ring?
No. You know what? I have. Obviously, we were having some fun in the radio. Oh. There it is. We were having some fun on the radio.
I found it.
But
you found the clip?
No, I found the Michael Stanley stuff. Started all over. I want to do it now.
I really don't want to work out with the ring. I do need to get the.
Well, you actually lift the weights with the ring.
Yeah. What is the thing called?
Rubber ring.
And that degloving thing. Okay,
that's a real thing that I was warned about.
I'm not looking that up.
I was an electrician on airplanes in the Air Force for 12 years. Every year we had to go through, just like we go through these sexual harassment training video things that we watch here.
Sexual harassment panda.
We watch all of those, plus we watch dangers of work on the flight line.
We go through an hour of sexual harassment training.
Believe me.
And they say, repeat after me, sexual harassment. I don't have to take this.
Those were powerful commercials.
Yes, they were.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, the degloving's real.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that.
They make you watch videos of it happening.
So why didn't nobody tell, honestly, shouldn't like the priest or whoever you get married, shouldn't they tell you that? I present
when
this
they
ring.
Say, with this ring, I be wed. Side note, you could lose all the skin on your finger.
Yeah, and it's a very complicated surgery. This happened to Jimmy Fallon just by reaching up for his glasses or something.
Yes.
Like, holy...
How did that happen reaching up for his glasses?
If you want your hands to look like the backup dancers in the Michael S. Pumpkin sketch, wear your rings.
How did that happen? I thought it was David S. Pumpkin.
Was it David?
I did.
I think it was David Pumpkin.
What did he say?
David Pumpkin. How did that, happen?
I still don't even know why that's funny.
In his car? In his car?
Yeah, and he yanked. He came back like thinking he had it. And then
and it got caught on something.
Got caught on something, and the whole and layer of skin comes with it.
Like a cheese grater.
Yeah.
I want to take it off now.
I don't want a ring anymore.
That's why I got divorces number 3 and 6.
Because of the ring.
Yeah. Because
they
of the
had
ring.
A dispute about
said,
whether or not.
This is dangerous.
I don't want to look it up either. I've actually never seen it. I've just heard him talk about it.
Don't look it up.
I don't want to talk about it.
Gives me the EBGBs.
Yeah, me too. That creeps me out. Mm-hmm. No more of that. No more of that talk. No more. So are you going to wear your ring all the time?
Yeah. You know what? I said I don't run with it. I have run with it. I don't know why I said I wouldn't run with it.
He doesn't run as well.
Running doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't. It holds me back.
Weighs you down.
I'm looking for PRs, Kenny. Personal records.
There you go. Anyway.
We have ghosts.
Yeah, this is not a good start to the podcast. So... I've had my ring on. I can take it off now. There was a time I got a little bit too hefty and couldn't slide my ring off there.
Does it depend on how much salt?
Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Denise's call was pretty strong about the ring. That was nice. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting. My dad didn't wear a wedding ring, but he was like...
Really?
But he worked with knives.
He's a meat cutter, right?
Yeah, so it's like,
that's not the meat he's wanting to cut.
Yeah.
Not his finger meat.
It's a little rough. I think he has his wedding ring somewhere. But, I mean, if he didn't wear it when my mom was alive, I don't know if he'd wear it after my mom passed. So... I'm going down to see my dad. Oh, wait, I can't tell these stories because now Keith...
But this one you can.
No, yeah, tell this one.
It's okay. So anyway, tell me when we have the clip.
I got it.
Okay, you have the clip?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, so this
I don't know if you can hear it, but I've got it.
Well, we're going to turn the mics off so we can hear the clip. Okay. Kyle Brandt had a...
I'm getting good texts. I think I'm out of the doghouse.
Can you tell me about...
Congratulations on all your success.
Okay, so wait a couple of days and then see February 12th be like, hey, Ken's taking Axel to the Vikings.
On. Yeah,
and,
we have to make this happen.
Wins game.
And say, I promised to wear my ring.
Yeah, and I promised to wear my ring. And Axel's going to be there, his 7-year-old son.
Does he want to get introduced to Coach Calhoun?
And can we go? Who, Axel?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why the hell not? So,
should you wear Youngstown State stuff and I wear Cleveland State stuff and we sit next to each other and I stand up on baskets and then you harumph when your team scores?
Axel already
has.
Axel already has Youngstown or Cleveland State stuff.
He got it last year, right?
Yeah, he got like a Viking helmet and you leave that with 7 and 6.
I think it's better if he wears his Cleveland State stuff in and you wear your Youngstown State stuff in. And people know, look, this
house
kid,
divided.
Yeah, this kid means business.
House divided.
He's a Kings fan from
this
way back
be
in
great.
The day.
True.
This, hey, did I ever tell you this 100% true story? My senior year of high school, we were a rowdy student section.
Yeah.
We did coordination.
Yeah,
we
did.
Wore outfits. We did things that were very problematic looking back and things we would definitely get in trouble and go viral for the wrong reasons.
Hey.
Back in the day. We don't have to go into detail, but there was a game at sectionals, and the other team didn't bring any fans. They just had no student section.
I think you told me this story before.
Yeah, they had no student section. So I took off my West G stuff, and I took like 7 of our guys, and we went to the other side and cheered for the other team.
Oh, that's nice.
We were dominating. Like, we were blowing out the team. We trash-talked our buddies, like Moran.
They had to be dying.
They couldn't keep it because it was the second half when they were up like 30.
Are you serious?
And we were going off doing chants against West G and calling our own team hillbillies. And it was.
You know where that's the worst thing is you know where the bodies are buried. So there's probably some girl, God knows what happened, and you're doing chants about the basement or something. Who knows what you were doing?
So, of course, our AD had to come over and go, guys, it was a good stunt. It was funny. He goes, it was funny. It was good, but. You know, the other kids, the other teams here, this is kind of showing up them too. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah,
it was a good, bit. We were doing bits back then. It was a good bit.
That's good. That's good. I like that bit. So you had you had this clip. This is Kyle Brandt. And is this on NFL Network or what is this?
I think it's on Brandt's podcast.
This is Kyle Brandt's podcast, and he had Josh Allen on. And do we have the entire question? The entire thing?
I don't know. I've got a minute 22, I would imagine.
I assume it is. Let's go ahead and play it right now. Hit it.
So Newsweek, New York Post, and other outlets are running stories about a DeMar Hamlin conspiracy theory in which people are suggesting that he was not at the game on Sunday and that it was some sort of body double conspiracy cover up. That it goes on and on and on into the tinfoil hat territory. Would you like to debunk that conspiracy theory or maybe confirm it?
Yeah, that's stupid. that you said there's mainstream media outlets pushing this.
There's mainstream media outlets. There's people with like really legitimate heavy followings who are saying the fix is in. That was not DeMar. His face was covered. He had sunglasses. He had a hat. When they went to him on CBS, you couldn't see him. And that there's this next level conspiracy that was actually not DeMar Hamlin at the game. They're saying it.
One, that's DeMar's swag. That's what he liked. He likes wearing that. Two, he was in the locker room with us pregame. So, yes, that was DeMar. There's absolutely zero chance. There's absolutely zero chance. That's DeMar Hamlin. That's our guy. That's our brother. He was with us pregame, postgame. He was up in the suite with his family, his little brother, 100%. So people need to stop.
I got it.
Okay, that's Kyle Brandt's podcast. And I like what you had to say about it because it's not about the conspiracy or whatever. We talked about the conspiracy a bit on the air, on the regular show. What did you bring up?
Well, I went right back to my my journalism classes, right? Believe it or not, I take journalism
Lima
classes.
Lima is a big J journalist.
No, used to be. Not much of that going on anymore. But I would have been crucified by the professors for that line of questioning. And let me get this out of the way. I'm glad he asked it.
Well, yeah.
I created a great moment, and this is what's being quoted. And, of course, no one's going to believe it if you're on the other side and you have that conspiracy theory brain, whatever. You don't believe anything. But this made national news as well as it should. But my professors would have been like, Anthony, you cannot do either a straw man question or a everybody is saying question, which I've definitely been guilty of in our radio shows. A lot of it's tongue in cheek. I mean, when we have Mary Kay on. And we're having fun with a guest or Zach Jackson. Oh, Zach, everyone's saying.
Well, when you
like,
I
I'll have fun with that. But Kyle Brandt, the only thing I wish he would have done is showed him, here are the people saying this. Because you go down a very bad path when you're conducting interviews and you are leading with questions that you don't have a tangible basis.
Yeah.
Here are the certified accounts. Here are the news journalists who are asking these questions. Because if it's just the internet, if it's just an appeal to the authority that is the internet, man, there's something said about everyone and everything.
Well,
and I mean, every politician is called a pedophile now. Are you going to sit there and have a politician on and go, hey, some people on the internet are saying you're a pedophile? Like, that's not journalism. That's not a good. And again, I want to make sure if anybody listens to this, I'm glad he asked because I wanted that moment. I wanted that moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that was asked. I wish that Kyle Brandt had the actual documentation of the people asking those questions.
Well, I think there's another question to ask here. And apparently now as you're listening, you know the ring conversation was filler to get to this. we're at this moment here where I want to know what you think because we will get callers. Why can't say Tom in Brunswick is calling up about XYZ or said this. I can say callers have said or listeners have said or I'm getting a strong reaction on social media from fans.
Yeah.
Fans have said, you know, we asked journalists like Mary Kay about that, things like that. Is that okay? How do we balance
so
that?
So I think it's very clear when we have people on and I think we just did this with a football guest. We had brought up, I said something like Albert Breer said this. I think I said that to, either Mary Kay or whatever.
You did.
I'm very specific when I can be and when I feel like I need to be.
Yeah.
When it's, hey, callers are saying this. Okay, that's me being guilty of what I just frowned upon. But I also think we all understand contextually, you know, when we're talking about reaction, I'm kind of summing up the reaction that we've gotten that day on the phones. Does that make it more of an authority over anybody else? Like, yeah, the five people that called us might have thought this, and everybody at home might have thought differently. That happens all the time, too. Me and you got into it about Bill Belichick and how much grief he was taking over Matt Patricia calling the plays and running the offense. And it turns out we both came to grips with, yeah, we're just listening to different people.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of miscommunication revolves around when we have these discussions. So I just think in a news setting, you got to be, and it really helps to be and frame it in a very specific way where you have credible sources saying something. Because, Kenny, I could do a very, you know, it's the age old, you know, how long have you been.
A lot of people say, Ken, that you mistreat your wife.
How long have you been beating your wife? That's like a standard thing that's always brought up. That actually there's a legal defense of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's weird. I'm conflicted because I was so glad that Kyle asked it. He had the balls to ask it. I was glad. But if I'm Josh Allen, I would have been like, who's saying that? And then what would Kyle have said? Oh,
I think you're right. I think it shows us we need at least one credible source. Like if he would have looked and saw, and I, by the way, I'm sure Kyle, and I don't know Kyle Brandt at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shouldn't say Kyle like I know him. I'm sorry. I'm sure Kyle Brandt was probably so disgusted by it that he just went, this
He didn't want to dignify it. But then what my journalism professors would go back and say is, well, if you're not willing to dignify it, then why are you dignified enough to ask a question?
Yeah. Which I think that, because
you're dignifying it by asking the question.
Which I think that you have to be unflinching and go, okay, let me find one of these. Because I did. I went down a rabbit hole the other day.
I did too.
And I saw, because now you see blue check marks, and it's like, well, that can be Twitter blue. Any person can do that. But I'm sure there were, if I can find an author, if I can find a TV pundit, if I can find one of them, and at least, okay, if I'm going to ask who said that, can I cite this as somebody who's not just a kook, but somebody who, okay, this is a person who's been on MSNBC or whatever, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, at least I have that. Mm-hmm. I could say people said that, but then I go, who said that?
I mean, Owen, we do that, though, on the show, right? Where we go, we've been seeing a lot of fans.
Yes. Like, I didn't bring up, but
I'm guilty of that all the time.
I like to do something where I'll wait until a caller brings it up, or honestly, I will just look at it and go, I'm here, I'm a conduit for fans. And if I see enough of it on social media, I will have enough. Now, I don't know what my threshold is. But there's no set number of tweets or emails.
You know it when you
Facebook
feel it. You know it when you feel it, when you're experiencing it. And we are guilty of this all the time. We get caught in our own world, in our own orbit. But it is what frames some of our shows.
Yeah.
Because after a Cavs loss the other night, a lot of Bickerstaff complaining.
Yeah.
Did I go through on the air when we were talking Bickerstaff and go through, well, Tommy in Brunswick is saying this, but Pete in Parma is saying this? No, I cast a wide net on that, and then people get mad. People do get mad. Guys, that's just a lunatic fringe. Well, there is always a lunatic fringe. So we do have to be careful. Hosts have to be careful of that. I think in your everyday life, you have to be careful when you bring something to work, when you bring something to your coworkers. Like, you do have to be careful of who's really saying that. Who are you attributing that to?
I remember when double A, I was upset about the Nick Chubb stuff well before double A brought it up on a Saturday.
There are a lot of people wondering brought up the Nick Chubb stuff.
When I knew double A brought it up on a Saturday, that was my green light to attack it.
Yes.
Flat out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys.
He's very attackable.
Well, no, I'm attacking the Nick Chubb thing. I don't want to attack double A.
Yeah, but why not?
It
both?
Ended up. It, you
why
kinda,
not attack both of them?
Well, he got nervous because I was attacking it because
he's not ready for battle.
It makes zero points to me, or it makes zero sense to me. But when I say, you know, this kind of thing happened the other night, you're going to laugh. This kind of thing happened. This would have been maybe earlier this week or last week about JB, and you're bringing up the coach because I said I woke up and I see a bunch of people wanting to fire JB Bickerstaff. And they're tweeting at me. And I said on Twitter, and somebody showed me a response that said, well, Ken Carmen knows nothing. And I go, well, you guys are saying it. I'm not. I didn't make it up.
I but said, like, doesn't well, know. I said, doesn't know anything. I would not have said knows nothing.
Well. No, it's just some, just a random fan. But they showed me, and I go, well, I didn't make that up. I didn't make, my mentions were filled with people who wanted to fire JB Bickerstaff. So when I wake up to that and I don't want to fire JB Bickerstaff, I'm going to be a little bit defensive of it, clearly. But then if somebody turns on Fox 8 and, well, Ken's talking about people wanting to fire JB Bickerstaff, well, they get mad at me. Yeah. And I don't, you know, whatever. I don't want to fire JB Bickerstaff, but there's comment or there's context there. But if I can't provide this person says this about JB Bickerstaff, well, I can understand why there'd be some confusion.
And, you know, if I had on, like when we have Kevin Stefanski on, I do remember I did do one question where fans want to see you a little more amped. You know, should
when
I?
When I asked him, do you get mad?
Yeah, should I have read tweets out and, or should I give a name to that?
No.
I think there are certain times when it's safe to do it, when you understand. So, it just to sum this up, I thought it was really compelling moment. I just know I would have gotten yelled at. That's all. In journalism school, would have been I'd have gotten the treatment.
There you go. Getting people telling me that Keith doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground.
About what?
About the Matt on Twitter, a listener of ours to the podcast live right now, says Keith doesn't know what he's talking about. The Thanksgiving Christmas dinner stories were riveting.
Oh, I was
about my dad and his.
Oh, you won me over on those
his
stories.
Dalliance.
Yeah.
Are there stories that I tell about my past that you don't care for?
Well, sometimes I've just heard them, and I can't.
Did you hear my moped story?
So that's what I could have sworn that I heard that story before, but
okay,
I can't.
Never mind.
But
you
no,
probably have.
But that doesn't mean that you should. Like, if this audience hasn't heard it, like, because remember, the people don't know this or don't remember this, or now we have younger listeners who didn't even know the station was on and they were too young.
Mm-hmm.
When this station started, it was me.
You were 8 years old when the station started. You were in college now.
Yeah. I was in the back room, and Kenny would come in and get ready for his night show.
Yes.
And we would get in fist fights about sports.
Not fist fights.
We did not see eye to eye on so many things.
And here we are.
I feel like we see eye to eye on too many things now. I don't know that we could be a show.
You've gotten to me.
Tomorrow. If we had not been a show and our boss was listening to us, I think our boss would think we're too agreeable.
No, I don't think you remember. See, things change in your head more than they change in mine. Keith told us when we first started that we agreed too much.
Really?
You and I agreed too much. And then because I didn't disagree
with
you.
And then you
did
a total 180.
Yeah.
And then wouldn't agree on a
then
single
we didn't
thing.
Agree on anything, and I think for a lot of people it was jarring because I think a lot of people hadn't heard things like that before. I mean, technically they kind of did, but they didn't. And again, it's different. Like the guys who are on right now on the air are like two guys sitting and having coffee and whatever, and that's fine. That's cool for them. But there's a lot of those listeners that do not like us.
Yeah,
because you and I. We'll get red face and very nasty with
Owen
each other.
Says we talk over each other too much.
I don't give. I
think that's the heart and soul of the show, don't you think, Ken? I mean, I think we should talk over when we want to get a point across.
I think
at that point you have to
did
that because then the listeners will understand exactly
what
you're doing
right now. That's how we need to do it.
Here's what I know.
Shut up over there. I'll talk over.
When I joined the show, the number was a certain number. And then the number got better.
Oh, well, that's true. It is true. Anyway.
He stole my line.
Do you want me to tell the moped story
or not?
I do.
Now,
yeah,
now,
let's hear it.
No, I don't want to tell the moped story.
You know why? Especially because of the everybody's going to send the same photo
people don't ride mopeds
on Twitter.
Oh, what, the McGuire twins?
The McGuire
twins. Yeah, I
already
who
did were
that
these dudes?
Oh, they were pro wrestlers. They
why
were the world's fattest twins.
Them?
They were the world's heaviest twins. And they rode motorcycles.
So they were in the
together.
Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes.
That's where I
and
first saw
them. And
they
were pro wrestlers. Cause
and
it was
Double Mint Gum commercials.
And Double Mint Gum commercials.
What was their finishing move?
Sitting on people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was.
He's doing it.
We came here to see it.
Sitting on people.
And then one of the twins was out. I came from Texarkana. 3,000 miles away, and I don't get to see the McGuire's sit on somebody. Please have this go viral.
So if you're a person of a certain age, kids don't ride mopeds anymore.
No.
Is Akron Moped still around? Not, why would you guys know? Why would I even
What
ask
is
that
the
question?
Difference between a scooter, a Vespa, a moped?
I think a Vespa is just a scooter.
Vespa's a brand.
Yeah, Vespa's a brand of scooter.
Okay.
A scooter, you just get in and turn the ignition on, and it's like a platform for your feet, and away you go. You got your brakes. A scooter, you kind of have to pedal to start or kick start, and it's your did I say a moped or a scooter?
Scooter.
A moped, you got pedals on there, and I mean, technically, you can ride it like a bike, but it doesn't ride like
now,
a bike.
Now, when you ask about Akron Moped, do you mean the store at 704 North Main Street in Ohio?
So that's where we would
they
go.
They are moped. Closed.
No! Like today or today?
Permanently,
ah,
yes.
Today. So I wanted a moped really from the second I first saw a moped.
How much did they cost?
They were a ticketed item.
Give me a year. What year was this?
1994.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four.
I was born in 86.
96.
96, I was 10. I'm going to say about 98, 99. 98. Go 98. 1998, brand new moped. Retail price, I'm guessing, was about $1,100. $700 to $1,100, maybe more depending on the brand. Like a Targa. Targas were Tomos. We're a big brand. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got...
What do you got?
It's not opening yet.
Okay.
J.D. Power and Associates.
Oh, my go-to.
Oh, God. So I had... At first, I got this...
What about Consumer Reports?
I had a... What was it? It was like a... It wasn't like a Ducati. It was something else, but it was like a...
Dunkin' Donut.
It was a... If I got my dad on the phone, he'd remember what it was. It was a... And it was called like an enduro bike. It was like a. It wasn't a dirt bike, but it had bigger tires.
Okay,
and it was an older model. And we got. I remember we bought it. We bought it for like $100, and it was actually worth a lot of money. The guy selling it to us, we didn't know, and the guy selling it to us didn't know. And the thing, like, it had carburetor problems. That's when I learned how to build a carburetor, Cousin Ricky, and. It just kept breaking down, just kept breaking down, just kept breaking down. But it was cool. And
how
finally,
fast could you go?
On that, about 55.
Okay.
And then finally, my dad's like, you know what? I've had enough of this bleep. Let's just go to get a different one. So we turned it in, and the guy's like, do you know what you have here? And my dad's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And he offered my dad like $2,000 for this bike. And we found out the bike was worth even more, but we got it from a retail place. So he offered my dad $2,000 on the spot. My dad took it. And then with that, I mean, he had a bunch of money left over. And my dad bought me an Avanti moped. Avanti makes like water coolers, televisions, mopeds.
Wedding rings.
And so I had this moped. And I'm going to tell you right now, as like a 12 and 13-year-old kid, this was the best. You'd ride around on the moped, okay? And me and my buddy Matt Long had mopeds. And I'm going to tell you right now, girls just wanted to ride on the moped.
They'd fit on there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, because it was a big seat.
Okay.
The seat was big. Like, you had this big, usually banana seat, like a bike. And I had a paper route. I deliver papers on it. And I'd ride, I mean, we rode to the Canton Fairgrounds from the, we lived past, you don't know where the hell I'm talking about, but we lived closer to the Massillon city limit. And we'd ride over to the Canton Fairgrounds on the moped because it got great gas mileage. And I rode the thing basically all year long, unless it was like really terribly bad out. Then I would like get a bicycle out, or I'd walk my paper route.
How did it handle like bumps, potholes?
It went okay. I mean, I laid it down a couple of times. That sucked. But I'd ride it around, and girls, that was just you're 12 years old, and I'm not kidding you, it's just a great way to meet girls. And you would go over to these, because your buddies be riding bikes, so I'd go over there, whatever. And I'm not going to share other things, but yeah. And so that was fun. And then I had this one time where we're on our way up to, I played fall baseball one time in seventh grade. And I always had a sense of humor of some sort. And we're on our way up to go to fall baseball, and we're driving down up 77, and my parents are in the front seat, I'm in the back, and my dad's old 86 Caprice, that beat-ass Caprice. And this guy on this hog goes flying by us, and he's got this shirt. And on the back of the shirt says, "If you can read this, the bleep fell off." And I put my head, I heard my dad audibly goes, "Oh, no," because he knew what I was going to do, and I pop right between and go, "I want that shirt," because I already knew it'd be funny to see some fat 12-year-old kid on a moped riding around with a shirt that says, "If you can read this, the bleep fell off." I mean, how funny would that be if you were riding around Perry Township and you just saw some fat kid wearing that shirt? That'd be hilarious.
Did you broker something?
What do you mean? I never got the shirt.
Oh, you never got the shirt?
Hell no, I never got the shirt. Oh, My mom was not going to allow that. My father was going to allow
that. Shirt would have been great.
But I eventually got rid of that. The thing, boy, had a lot of chrome, and that thing rusted quick.
Yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
A lot of surface rust, so you had to take care of that. Took care of the chrome, sold it, put that money in the bank. I remember we probably paid about $1,100 for it. Maybe the number.
Well, I can tell you that the 1998 Kinetic Magnum, which is not an Avanti, it's a Kinetic, but according to J.D. Power and Associates, the suggested retail price, $1,395.
I just at 12 years old, we just talked about this. You got that hat, that Stetson,
yeah,
that was insane.
I'm an only child.
How much money did you guys have?
You really benefited from A, being an only child, and B, your parents really liking you.
Were they stealing money? Were they?
No,
what's going on?
Yeah,
what happened meat here? Money, what's going
because
on?
Not in a million years did we have the money to have a $1,200 item. Now you had two 12. And if you wore that Stetson on the boat peg, that Stetson was going to fly right off.
The Stetson I still have. You got to remember, I sold the moped.
Yeah. And I remember
my dad kept saying, "I should have that. That should be my money. It's my money that bought the thing." He was always busting my balls over it. But he made me put it in the bank, because then I took that money and I used it to buy my first car. That was the 85 Bronco Deuce. And that thing ran because I bought it from my shifty grandfather.
What colors was it?
It was like that burnt red.
Okay.
And like crappy yellow.
Creamish.
Creamish. Yeah, you're right. And it smelled. I had to leave the windows open.
It's in my head right now. I know exactly what you got.
Owen knows. I had to leave the windows open on that thing for like 3 days to get the cigarette smell out.
Ugh.
And I ran that thing for about 6 months, and the flywheel went on it. Trash, done. And then I had already had a job by then. I was working at the grocery store, and I bought an S10 off my buddy Craig for $1,500. It was $1,500.
Still a boxy style S10, or did it have a little curve?
It had the curve. I had no idea what Trailer Park Boys was, and I called it the Green Bastard.
Oh.
And that's what it was. And I did a couple of things to it, because I had buddies who were like really into cars and could do that stuff. And they were like, "Dude, you got to drop it," and all this stuff. I'm like, "I just don't have the time. I don't have the." And they were like, "Dude, we'll help you." Like my buddy Nick, who I worked at the grocery store with, he still does that. I mean, he can still take a stock. He will take a stock Civic, like a '96 Civic, and in a month, do it. It's amazing.
I was gonna say,
like,
how much work is that?
Oh, it's tough.
Well, you got to remove a leaf spring here and there, and there's
so much things that he can do. Yeah. I mean, he can rebuild motors.
You want to get incredible. A leveler?
I can't believe kids are doing this.
Well, now he's. If I'm 36, he's got to be so almost 40 by now.
That Suburban that I had when I first started working here had a lift on it. Not a big lift, but it had a lift with big tires on it. I did that. So I bought it. I had probably a year before I got out of the Air Force, maybe 2 years. And one of the guys that I knew, we had this garage where it had all the lifts. You paid $10 an hour to rent your spot in the garage. It had all the tools, everything you needed. It was on the Air Force.
This is like Christine, by the way.
And I didn't know they did that.
Did you ever see Christine? This is like the same plot.
My buddy's like, why don't we just, because I was like, man, I'd love to do a lift, but it's going to cost all this money to take it to these places that do it. And he goes, we can just do that. We'll buy it. On Rough Country, that's a big place to get lifts and stuff.
Yeah.
He goes, we'll just buy it online. It'll be like $300-$400. We'll do it ourselves on a Saturday. We'll get some beers and go up there and do it. And I'm like, I don't know about this, dude. That thing, I drove that car for 10 years.
Really?
And it never had a problem. Like, so that was where, that was kind of the birthing of me doing my own automotive maintenance and stuff. Like, and we did, literally, that was YouTube videos on the phone just telling us how to remove this or tighten this coil.
I changed the front clip on that S10. It was a 95 S10. I changed the front clip on it. Like the whole, like the grill and everything, because they were all plastic.
Right.
And I did that, and it was just in the backyard, swept my ass off, sanding it, chroming it.
I mean, what you guys are describing seems so far-fetched, ridiculous, unsafe, because I know nothing about this stuff. So like even like calibrating this stuff.
Yeah.
Just seems like now they have so much technology to be able to do all this stuff.
Too much technology.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. You don't. There's right. I mean, I think we might have talked about this in the podcast. The right to repair laws that they're passing, because now everything's a giant computer.
I mean, just this is the stuff I missed out on not having a dad, because he worked on all that stuff, and then once he was out of the house, that was it. I didn't know how to use tools. I didn't know how to use socket. I didn't know how to do anything. And so to this day, I'm worthless. Well, boy, Sarah, if she would have known, she would have known ahead of time.
Listen, I'll tell you this part, though.
Be back living in Tremont.
I get along very well.
Yeah,
with...
but this is where Bernie kind of,
oh my
maybe
God.
The two of you,
my
go
father-in-law,
in on
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, but he, Bernie steps I can in. Just tell, he can't believe what I don't know. He is mortified.
Yeah, he's a man's man.
And then
right?
I'm competing with his other daughter's husband, who is doing everything you're doing in the house
right.
down in Columbus. He just does it. He's laying tile. He's doing drywall. He's doing this. I don't know how to do anything. I can change a tire. That's all I can do.
I'm actually getting used to the concept of, like, what Owen does. Owen has done everything to his house, and I did not do nearly as much to the house in Ridgeville as what you've done to your
right.
house in Avon Lake. I'm not even making a comparison. But a lot of that stuff, I did a lot of stuff to the house in Ridgeville, and I just I there's no time for it anymore. I don't know when I'm ever going to have time for it again. So it's a very weird feeling to go to learning all that stuff, and then to, once you acquire the knowledge of how to do it and it's fun, then to allow someone else to try to do some of that, because then you don't feel as useful to it as much. Because I will tell you this, my dad and I get along very well, but my dad has very little patience for any of the teaching of things that basically you knew, pipe fitting, carpentry, drywall, all the stuff that, you know, basic contracting, that at home contracting, DIY contracting that you would do yourself. He has very little patience for me. My father-in-law was much more patient, because my brother-in-law, he does his own thing, and he's talented. Like, he took his barn and his house, and it is an incredible structure now. I mean, it is fully done. There are no exposed beams. Everything is, he's an electrician by trade. He started out as an electrician. I mean, everything is done. And I mean, it's an incredible thing. But he does not, will not listen to his dad, who built two houses. The one they live in now and the one they built, on New Buffalo Road in Canfield, which is like, I guess, a couple of blocks away from where Joey Naples was killed years ago in like the early 90s. Mob stuff, yeah. So he built two houses, and so my father-in-law is kind of cool with showing me how to do stuff and has been that way because his son won't listen to him.
Do you
so
think,
that's always been kind of fun because my dad would just lose his patience.
Do you?
And that's probably my fault too.
Is it a cop out when I'm just like, oh, I'm not handy? Or can anybody be handy?
I think a lot, like concrete to me is such a scary, scary mystery because the math that's in, people don't realize how much math is involved in concrete. I've been around the pouring of concrete, I've been around people doing the concrete. Mm. I've been a part of...
It's a production when you watch it.
Yeah, but
I had
not,
that job in high school, pouring concrete, but I didn't pour. I was rebar boy.
10 guys all out there.
I've tarred roofs. I've done all that stuff.
Really?
And I'm terrified of heights. I tarred roofs. But the concrete stuff, that to me is like, okay, we gotta... No. But you gotta remember, is a lot of this stuff is meant to be simple. And it's like, they'll always try to find a way to work smarter. Mm-hmm. So I'll get frustrated. You got to remember the patience. What's helped me in 11 years of being married is, boy, we're way off where we started, aren't we? In 11 years of being married is
I'm back in the doghouse,
realizing.
Though. Uh-oh.
She heard the segment.
That's the, why did she listen?
I don't know. Someone probably text her.
Why did she listen?
We got to get rid of this Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.